You'll turn in your Bibles today to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through Galatians 4, verse 7, in a sermon entitled, Don't Be Down. Galatians 3, 26. So in Christ Jesus, you are children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are one in Jesus Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I'm saying is that as long as an heir is under age, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons. And because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Father in heaven, how good it is to know you are our Father. Help us as we open this passage of Scripture to draw close to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Dad, would you help me with my homework? Asked one eighth grade boy. I'm sorry, replied the father. It just wouldn't be right. Well, said the boy, at least you could try. Welcome on this Father's Day. It may take you a while to get that one. 2016. Now, Mother's and Father's Days are problematic for pastors, especially Father's Day. I got to tell you. Some young people today have no real relationship with their dads, and many have a relationship that could be termed destructive. Charles Sell, in his book Unfinished Business, tells the story about David Simmons, former cornerback of the Dallas Cowboys, and Dave's father, a military man, was extremely demanding. He rarely said a kind word. He never permitted his son to feel any satisfaction about anything he did. He always pushed him to do better. And then, when Dave was a small boy, his father gave him a bicycle, unassembled, commanded that he put it together. And when he failed, his father said, I knew you couldn't do it. And then he assembled it for him. When Dave played football in high school, after every game, his father would go over every play and point out David's errors. The stress was almost unbearable, and by the time he entered college, Dave hated his father. When colleges offered him a scholarship to play football, he chose Georgia Tech, mainly because it was the college that was furthest away from his home. After college, Dave was a second-round pick in the professional football draft. The first-round pick of the team was a player you may have heard of that year, a quarterback named Joe Namath. Think of that. Dave Simmons was the second player chosen by this team after Joe Namath, and quite an accomplishment indeed. His father's only comment, how does it feel to be second? As an adult, Dave Simmons became a man of faith, and God's love called him to reach out to his dad. It was then that he first learned about his grandfather on his dad's side. He really hadn't known anything about his dad's upbringing. His grandfather had been a tough lumberjack. He was known for his quick temper. He was known for regularly beating his son, Dave's dad. And the information caused Dave to feel more sympathy for his dad. And as he put it, knowing about my father's upbringing helped me see that under the circumstances, he might have done much worse. By the time his father died, Dave and his dad were friends. How grand. I'm thankful that Dave was able to reconcile with his dad. It never, ever happens in some families. People go to their graves never able to forgive or forget. It even affects their feelings about God. It's difficult for people to pray our Father when their entire image of Father has been distorted. Now, I hope that's not true of you. It's so wonderful to hear people like Lucy talk about fathers that are godly and good, and they produce women like her that allow guys like me to look better than I actually am. We have a Heavenly Father, this passage says, who is everything that you'd want any mom or dad to be. Forgiving, accepting, a parent who believes in you, who created you in His image. You are the apple of God's eye, and don't let anybody tell you any different. God loves you. Max Lucado's famous words are this: if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If He had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring and a sunrise every morning. Face it, friend, He's crazy about you. God the Father is crazy about you. Here's how Paul put it in our lesson for the day. So, verse 26, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God. There you go. God the Father, you're children of God. Oh, by the way, I'm so thankful somebody gave me a new Bible, large print. I think they saw me looking a little too close to the page. And the only difference between the old one that was given to me by my kids on Father's Day in 1999 using this new one, Father's Day 2016, is heavier. So I will get stronger, not only in reading the Word, but also in actually picking it up. So all of us are children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with God. This idea is not the baptism that happened yesterday, the dunking down and coming up. It is using the word baptized to help us understand what the word means. Baptized into Christ in agreement with Jesus, part of the family. Baptism, as happened yesterday, going to the waters of baptism, is an affirmation, I am part of the family of God. Once you become part of the family of God, being baptized says, hey, I'm with Jesus. I'm part of the family of God, and He says that you are. You've clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male or female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ and you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. God has made you an heir when you came to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You are His child. And on this Father's Day 2016, you should not only be celebrating Father's Day for the fathers that you've had, or have, but also for the Father that loves you so much that He sent His Son to die on Calvary's cross for your sins. Now, there's a reason that many good people have bad times. And one of the reasons some really good people have bad times is they carry around baggage from their past experiences or their past relationships. In other words, the past, the experiences of the past, the relationships of the past are eating away at the present, therefore hurting and destroying the future. Many people have had their self-image trampled at home, at school, on the job. For them, it's not simply a matter of having sporadic times of adversity. They carried their bad times inside. There's no use in changing locations or jobs or spouses or friends. They cannot escape themselves. What do you do when your inner self has been damaged? W. Paul Jones tells the story of a woman who suffered from polio during her childhood. Some of you have never seen a child crippled by polio, confined to a wheelchair, or crutches, or even worse, an iron lung. Thank God and Jonas Salk that you have not. It's a terrible thing to happen to a young people, but the effect on the self-image of the woman that Paul Jones tells about was worse than her physical pain. Here's how she viewed herself. She said that when, as a child, her mother would leave her in Sunday school, she would always ask her mother if she could wear her mother's locket. And her mother just assumed that she had a really special attachment to the locket. That wasn't it at all. Here's how she explained her relationship to the locket. She says, "I knew I wasn't worth coming back for, but I knew my mother would come back for her locket." How incredibly sad to feel that way about yourself. Many good people have bad times because they carry around baggage from past experiences or relationships that have crushed their self-esteem. Maybe that's true of you. And I want to tell you that the words from Paul today should be a healing, refreshing balm to all of you who have been damaged by your past, for whatever reason. He continues. So in Christ, verse 26, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Now, you know, some people do have these bad experiences. Other people carry around baggage because they've been put down because of their gender, their ethnicity, their race, or some other personal characteristic. People are mean. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Others of you would prefer that I ignore the issue altogether. Let me say this. If you are going to carry any bigotry in your heart, please do not use the Bible as an excuse. At least not the New Testament, because in the book of Acts there is an amazing story that I talked about yesterday about an Ethiopian eunuch. Do you remember the story? One of the apostles, named Philip, was led by the Spirit to Gaza, and on the way he encountered an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge. He was in charge of all her treasure. And the eunuch had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, and he was sitting in his chariot reading the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit said to Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." So he ran to the Ethiopian eunuch's chariot and heard him reading aloud passages from Isaiah the prophet. And Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the eunuch replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him in the chariot. Now, the passage that he was reading was Isaiah 53. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or someone else?" Of course, Isaiah was writing of the coming Messiah, Jesus. And so Philip, beginning with this scripture, told this Ethiopian the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, he accepted Christ. Watch what's happening here. He accepts Jesus. He becomes part of the family. He's in the chariot, continuing the ride with Philip. And he says, "Hey, Philip, look, there's some water over here. What prevents me from being baptized?" And as he commanded, Acts 8:26, as he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and this man went and Philip baptized him. What prevented this Ethiopian from being baptized? Nothing. Not the color of his skin, not his physical condition. You know, how could our forefathers have ever read this story and still excluded black people from their churches? How incredible. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, and you've been clothed with yourselves in Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. I want you to see something today, church. Listen to this. God has one passion. One! God's passion is people. Every person on earth. All people. God loves you, not because you're white, not because you're male, not because you're female, not because you're American, not because you're physically attractive, not because you come from the right socioeconomic class. God loves you because you are you. He sent his son on his behalf. But never forget this as we try to share the good news of the gospel in India, as we try to share the good news of the gospel every part of the earth that we can, in China, other places. God loves everybody. And so must we. Pastor Jamie Buckingham says that he was on the receiving end of such rejection one time, and it radically changed his attitude. There's some people that face this rejection regularly, and some of us do not understand it because we've never experienced it, and this pastor had never experienced it. He tells it about it in his book Parables, and he was at the Wailing Wall. Christian white pastor at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. You got the picture. He's there. Thousands of Jews were there to pray. He was an obvious Gentile. He tried not to be too conspicuous. Close by was a huge fountain where the Orthodox Jews with their beards and long side curls dressed in their traditional rabbinical clothing were washing their hands in ceremonial cleansing before approaching the wall. And Buckingham was looking for a place where he too could pray, apart from the crowd. And turning, he inadvertently bumped into a young Hasidic. That's an ultra-Orthodox rabbi. And this man said, "Gentile dog!" And then without warning, he spit on his shirt. Whirling away, the young Hasidic rabbi made his way back to the fountain where he had washed his hands moments before, and having been touched by a Gentile, he obviously felt unclean and now felt forced to go through the ritual purification once again. Jamie Buckingham says the effect of being cursed and being spat upon by this ultra-religious individual was dramatic for him. He says he never in his life felt so alone. He never in his life felt so rejected. And suddenly he knew how the Jews had felt across the centuries as they had been hunted and persecuted and killed by religious people, both Christians and Muslims. Only this time it was he, a follower of Christ, who was the object of contempt, scorn for not being as religious as that young rabbi. And standing in the midst of that cacophony of religious sound, he said with spittle running down his shirt that his entire identity changed. Suddenly, he says, he felt at one with African Americans and Native Americans in this land who for generations were considered to be less than human. What an insight Jamie Buckingham gained from his experience. Paul somehow has the same amazing insight. Can you imagine 2,000 years ago how revolutionary this scripture is? It's too bad that we as a church, we as people, didn't learn from it. Because he says, there is, verse 28, no Jew. There is no Gentile. There is no slave. There is no free. There is no male. There is no female. Nobody's better than anybody else. We are all one in Jesus. We are all sons and daughters of God. We are all people who matter to God. Chapter 4, verse 6. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Those of us who know God, those of us who know Jesus, cry out, Abba, Father. Daddy. Daddy. The greatest of relationships with a father. The most closest and tenderest that you could have. The most ideal that you could ever imagine. This is our relationship with God the Father. The way God sees. So, friends, you're a child of God. In Max Lucado's words, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If you had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring and a sunrise every morning. Face it, friends, God is crazy about you. If you understand the truth in those words, know that what God wants from you is simply for you to go out and spread that same love that he has given to you to everyone you meet. If there was more love in the world, what a much more wonderful place it would be. And God says, I love you. And he says, love one another as I have loved you. May God give us the strength, the power, the courage, and the determination to do it, no matter the cost. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you love each one of us. That you love us so much that you sent your Son to die on Calvary's cross for our sins. Continue to be with us today. Allow us, Lord, to love you more and to share that love with everyone we come into contact with. In Jesus' name, amen.